Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 23 of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Last week was all AFC. This week is all NFC. And I got two, like how I got two AFC guys last week, I got two NFC guys this week. Matt Beast makes his return and making his first return since the very first. He was my first ever guest on the pod. Britton Harrison is back. We'll talk some NFC football as we're only 2 days away. Boys, how are we feeling about it?
We're feeling really good, really excited on the eve of football. I cannot wait, man. I mean, it feels weird because we didn't get any preseason football this year. So it's just kind of just jumping on us now. Or we're just keying right into week one. But I'm excited.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't even really feel real. You know, it feels like we haven't really had any time to prepare. And it's just like, okay, we're already back to football season. And with the basketball playoffs going on at the same time, it's pretty crazy, but I'm not complaining. More sports, you know.
I know exactly. I feel like I'm going up north with a few friends in a couple weeks, and I was telling them, hey, we're going to be able to watch in the span of a weekend because it's the first weekend of October doing this. We're going to be able to watch the MLB playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, and Week 4 of the NFL season. So I'm like, just to get all that sports at once. Like, obviously, the last 6 months have been very whirlwind for everyone. But the fact now that we're getting all the sports hit on us at once, and plus two college footballs returning this Saturday. I know what some of the smaller schools played this weekend, but I know a lot more of the bigger schools are coming back in the next few weeks. I think the Big 12 starts this week. But yeah, just a sports overload, and I'm excited.
And well, let's not talk about college football and get me all sad. So let's move on to NFL. All
right. Me and Beast are both two sad Razorback fans right now.
Yeah, we'll be lucky to win a single game this season because that schedule is brutal.
The worst schedule I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get it off on a somber note, but just on another quick note, right before we started recording, I actually tweeted out, I'm kind of being a Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter for some people here, but Von Miller had a freak injury in practice today, and the team is fearing that it's season-ending for an ankle injury. So we know Vaughn had a bout with COVID-19 earlier this year. Hopefully the injury isn't too serious, but if it is, get better soon, Vaughn.
Because
you know how you guys said earlier that your biggest fears was, or not biggest fear, but you know how you said no preseason, so the itch for football is there? My only big concern of no preseason is that you're going to see someone big go down week one. Like, I'm not hoping for it. I'm just saying, like, for as bad as it will be, it wouldn't shock me totally if someone has a freak injury week one, but that's just me. Anyway, guys, I think there's four divisions. The NFC this year, honestly, is very intriguing just because I feel like for the first time in a long time, you don't know exactly who's going to win all four divisions. Like with the AFC, we talked about this last week, we feel like teams like Baltimore and Kansas City are kind of already lock-ins to win their divisions. But I feel like with the NFC, it's kind of open season for who can win any division.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's been consistent over the years with the AFC is you always have your usual suspects coming out of the conference. It was for a while, it was the Colts here and there, the Patriots mainly, and now it looks like it's going to be either the Chiefs or the Ravens. My money would probably be on the Chiefs again, but and the NFC, it's always been kind of a roulette. You never know who's going to come out of the whole entire conference, and I feel like it's much more competitive than the AFC, and in general, it's much less predictable. The AFC could be a little bit different this year, but you guys went really good in depth on the AFC. So check out y'all's thoughts on that from last week if you guys want to listen to some AFC talk as well.
Yeah, I was about to say that episode went pretty long, and I was going to start with the South, but I want to leave that till a little bit later on. I want to talk first Britain's NFC East, excuse me. And Britton, I know you're a Cowboys fan, but I want your thoughts on where you feel like this Cowboys team could go in 2020.
Okay. Thing about me being a Cowboys fan, a lot of Cowboys fans are very unrealistic. I'm one of the few you'll meet that try to keep my expectations as realistic as possible. But I think with the talent this team has this year on offense, on defense, new coach, I think they have all the ingredients they need to make it far into the playoffs. Do I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl? Probably not. I don't think they're better than a team like the Saints. But I think there's going to be a really good season for the Cowboys. Sorry, I got kind of sidetracked there.
I think
they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I don't know. It's all good. I always see the Dallas Cowboys personally. I personally have them winning the NFC East this year. I think that with Mike McCarthy coming in, you're going to have a new look. Mike Nolan, I believe, is the new defensive coordinator for the team, so it'll be interesting to see how they go. My only concern just with the defense is the secondary, but I feel like if the defensive line can get enough stops, it'll help them win games. It's just that big pass threat, considering some of the competition with some of the receivers that are in the NFC. But the fact that Dak's playing on a one-year contract, like, he's got nothing to lose. Like, Cooper got paid, Zeke got paid. Dak's just trying to go out there and show Jerry Jones. If he can have a good season and win the division, there's no excuse why Dak should get a long-term contract.
Yeah, I think that's all it comes down to, is just, I think he's going to have a career year. He's out to prove that, you know, if he wants that money that he claims to want so much, he's got to go out and prove that he's worth it. And I think he's going to go out and do it. I think he's capable of it. And I hope that he surprises a lot of people this year, because I myself am not the biggest Dak supporter, not the biggest Dak fan, but I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. And like you said about the defense, like, the defensive line is looking really great. Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, if they can both stay healthy, unstoppable. You let go of Byron Jones in free agency, that I don't understand, but they did re-sign Brandon Carr. He's a former Cowboy. He spent the last couple seasons in Baltimore. He's learned a lot there. Maybe he'll come back better than he was last time he was in a Cowboys uniform.
Yeah, and also, too, I feel like, I know at the time of the draft they could have got someone like Xavier McKinney, but I feel like the fact that they went out and took another receiver in Lamb is just honestly showing that, hey, we have a great offense. We've got arguably a three-headed monster at receiver with Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup. Just my only other question really on the offense, because we all know how good the offensive line can be, is just if Jarwin's really going to be that star tight end now that Witten's gone.
I think so, dude. He's really good. He's really quick. He has good hands. I'm not going to go out and say he's like a Travis Kelce or anything by any means, but you give him a couple of years, I think he's really going to develop under the system. And hopefully, maybe next year, fingers crossed, Cowboys can get former Arkansas Razorback Hunter Henry and a tight end. That'll complete everything. That'll be the final, I'm not a big Marvel guy, but the last stone in the Infinity Gauntlet.
I was going to say piece of the puzzle, but that's another good one, too. And last Infinity Stone works for both of us. What do you guys both think that worst case, best case scenario is for the Dallas Cowboys?
For the Cowboys, I think the best case is, the way I'm seeing it, is this is the Cowboys' division to lose. It's going to be a two-horse race between them and the Eagles, ultimately. But I think the Eagles, they just have an injury bug problem. Like, it seems like the past couple years, they just cannot get healthy, and they're already on the trend of that. And, I mean, it's looking like DeSean Jackson is going to be their only notable healthy receiver this first couple week or two. Alshon Jeffrey's expected back in September. Jalen Reagor got hurt in practice, who's going to be a star wide receiver for them, I think. But in terms of the Cowboys, I really like Dak Prescott. I think he's a really good quarterback, and I think he's going to go out there and prove that he needs a contract. I could see him getting something similar to what Deshaun Watson just signed at $39 million per year. Because I put Dak and Deshaun, I put Deshaun just a tad bit above Dak, but they're really close in the same tier of quarterback to me, especially. And I mean, if you look at the weapons that Dak has just around him, I mean, you got Zeke, of course, one of the best running backs in the league, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's weird, because sometimes he'll show off to be an elite wide receiver, and then other times he'll go up against like an elite cornerback and just kind of disappear. But I think it could be better. I mean, you got Michael Gallup. He emerged last year. You have one of the best wide receivers in the draft, CeeDee Lamb, of course, playing the slot. Had a lot of vacated targets with
Hurts,
Randall Cobb, and Jason Witten. So I think, as you guys were talking about, Blake Jarwin, I think he could be a fantastic sleeper tight end this year. So I think him and CD will take over that role. And as Britton said, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, if those guys can stay healthy, they have injury concerns with those two. But if they can just go out there and stay healthy, that's going to be a big key to their defense. And, of course, I mean, Byron Jones, the departure of him is going to suck. But, I mean, the Dolphins paid a lot to get that guy. And, I mean, they drafted Trayvon Diggs in the second round. So let's go see if he's going to be a good cornerback. But in terms of number-wise, I could see the Cowboys going 11-5 and winning the division. Worst-case scenario, maybe like 7-9. But I would probably put it about 11-5 or 10-6.
You honestly read my mind, because I was going to say the exact same thing. I think best case for the Cowboys is 11-5, they win division. Worst case scenario is 7-9, they miss the playoffs. The other thing I noticed too right here, and I think this is going to be a very key game, Week 16, the Eagles go to Dallas, 425. I'm going to assume Buck and Aikman are going to call the game, because whenever a Cowboy game's at 425, no matter where, you just put two and two together. And Britton can vouch for this, but a great example of Cooper getting shut down was last year against New England. I remember they put Stephon Gilmore on him, and you saw absolutely nothing from Amari Cooper in that game. So if Cooper can kind of ball out against some big-name cornerbacks this year, he'll do good. Because, like, I was just looking at their schedule, too. This Sunday night, opening of SoFi Stadium, he's got Jalen Ramsey he's got to go up against.
And he's got to have more than that comeback route. I mean, that he can burn some elite defenders on that, but he's got to have more than that. And sometimes it feels like that's all he has, unless he's just down the field wide open.
Exactly. And then, so do we, Brent, do we have all the same agreements with the whole best case, worst case? So if you guys win the division, go with, say, 11-5, worst case is 7-9 or 8-8?
I got us going 11-5, yeah, and winning the division.
So, like, here, and then, just quickly with the Eagles, Matt's right in the sense, too. Like, look, they're that team where if they can stay healthy, like, especially if Carson Wentz can stay healthy, he can be an MVP. But just the fact that he can't stay healthy, like, raises a lot of question marks for me. And also considering, too, that they haven't had a whole lot of playoff success since winning their Super Bowl. I know they won the one game against Chicago, but let's be honest, that was just kind of dumb luck on the part of Cody Parkey having the double doink. And then, too, Alshon Jeffrey, believe the ball went right through his hands in the divisional round in the Superdome and the Saints. Matt, who's the Saint that picked that off? Was that Lattimore?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. And then, I like the Eagles. It's just quickly going best case, worst case with them. I think the best case is, like you said, this is the Cowboys' division to lose, so I think best case for them is like 10-6. Worst case for me for them is 8-8, and they're like the 7th, 8th, or 9th seed. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think their offense could be good if everyone stays healthy. And, I mean, obviously right now, Miles Sanders, he's questionable to play. Alshon Jeffrey, like I said earlier, him and Jalen Reagor. And their big thing is just health. And, of course, their defense, it's had some troubles lately with their secondary. And if they can ever get that under control and figure out what's going on back there in the secondary, I mean, they got Darius Slay, so that should help. I just got to see how their defense shows out and if their weapons can stay healthy.
And also, too, they did lose Brandon Brooks on the – that was another thing I was going to say. The Cowboys, too, it's going to be interesting to see how they look without Gerald McCoy, because he's out for the year, I believe, with an Achilles or an ACL and that, or quad, one of the three. And I know the Eagles lost Brandon Brooks for the year with an Achilles injury back in training camp. And as for the Giants and the – I was about to say their old name, but the Washington football team – I feel like these are just two playoff teams where, at best, 6-10 for both of them. But I think the Giants have more potential going forward right now than Washington does, just based off the fact that, look, I know the Redskins have a very, very good-looking defensive line. It's just when it comes to offense, I trust the Giants a little bit more than I do Washington.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Giants have a really promising offense for the future. I mean, Daniel Jones last year, you know, maybe didn't have the greatest first year, but he's improving. I mean, throughout the year, you could see him improve. Evan Engram has proven to be a top tight end.
One healthy.
Sterling Shepard's had a pretty good year last year, I think. And then, of course, Saquon. So I don't think they have much to worry about on offense, but it's just defense for me, I feel like.
I don't put a lot of stock into either the Giants or the Redskins. Well, formerly known as the Redskins, the Washington football team. I'm not big fans of either of the quarterbacks. I really don't like Dwayne Haskins. I gotta see more out of him to see if he's going to be anything. And, I mean, not a big fan of their weapons they got going on there. And their running back situation is just terrible right now. I mean, at first they had Darius Geist, and he got released due to his problems he had going on. And then Adrian Peterson just got cut, and I guess they feel really good about Antonio Gibson or someone there that they have in camp already. I don't know what's going on there, but the defensive line is about the main standout, like you said, for them. And then the Giants, it's just about seeing if Daniel Jones can put it all together with his weapons. Darius Slayton was showing off good things last year. They still got Golden Tate, who's a really good slot receiver. They got Saquon Barkley, probably the best running back talent-wise in the NFL. Having a great running back only gets you so far, though, because, I mean, just look at the general scope of the NFL. They're not wanting to really pay running backs unless they just really have to, unless you're like a Zeke, a Kamara, a Barkley. And even then, sometimes it doesn't get you very far because, I mean, look at Christian McCaffrey's year last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, his benchmark is, I think, it's like $16 million a season. And so far, that was the one thing, too, I was actually messaging Matt about earlier today was, and I'm just going through Twitter right now, hoping that I can scroll through and see the update. Oh, Alvin Kamara signed an extension because with our dumb luck, watch, he's going to sign as soon as we're off the air or tomorrow. But the fact that, like, yeah, $16 million is the benchmark for a running back, and even two, we're going to get into this, but I'm going to be upfront and honest right now. Seeing the fact that McCaffrey is the backbone of that Carolina Panthers football team, they're not going to win a whole lot of games because I think they're still in the same position as, like, the Giants or Washington where, look, they got some pieces, but they still got a ways to go. They also, too, their defense is a huge question mark just because of how young they are. It's nothing to do with talent. It's just when you have a younger defense in the NFL, you are going to fuck up a good amount of times just because, look, everyone makes mistakes and you're just a kid in this league, even though you're 21 to 22, and collectively could probably beat the holy hell out of the three of us in an Oklahoma drill. The Giants, and also, too, just the fact that nothing against Rivera, and I hope he gets better because I know he's dealing with cancer right now, but seeing that video of Joe Judge, like, sliding in the mud or even doing that simple drill, like having the team, like, tape tennis balls in their hands so they don't hold, little things like that are easily having a rookie head coach win over your locker room. Like, it's just... just the little things like that would make me confident for the Giants, not this year, but going forward. So this year, if they can go 6-10, I think ultimately it's an improvement. I think last year they went 3-13 or 4-12.
I'm not quite sure.
That's what I have them going, 6-10, yeah.
Yeah, and then Washington, I think somewhere between 3-13 and 5-11. I'm going to say it goes Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Washington football team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Next division I want to move on to is another very intriguing one. It is the NFC North. Like, all divisions in this conference are intriguing. It's just the North intrigues me because it's like the NFC South where you have three teams who could potentially make noise. One team is probably going to be pretty good, and then one team could either be very good or not good at all, and that's just the North. Off the hop, I honestly want to say the Packers are going to win this division. But at the same time, too, it wouldn't totally shock me if Minnesota is kind of that, just like that car that's just tailgating them the entire season, where we'll find out Sunday exactly where this division shapes up.
It's so tough because that's always been such a tough division. But, you know, you got to look at Aaron Rodgers. He played decent last year, but how much longer can he be Aaron Rodgers? He still has Devontae Adams. He's got Aaron Jones there now. Defense is looking great. I think that's still the best team in the NFC North. I think losing Diggs is a huge blow for the Vikings, but I mean, you can't expect Thielen and Cook to do everything for you. So I still think that's Packers are going to be probably NFC Championship this year.
The biggest thing with the Packers, too, is just the fact that Aaron Rodgers has not made it back to a Super Bowl since he won his first one. And that was in February. That's going to be 10 years ago. So I think the more and more he gets done, the more and more he doesn't get it done, it's going to be more of, hey, what's going on here? Because also, too, I do see them winning the North. It's just when I made that car comparison with the Vikings and the Packers, I just mean that, hey, I think the Packers will win the division. I just wouldn't shock me that if the Vikings are kind of on their tail where it's like, the Packers finish, say, 12-4, and then the Vikings are 10-6. So it, like, kind of gets decided at the very end of the season. I honestly do think drafting Jordan Love is going to light a fire under Aaron Rodgers, where we just see this whole new quarterback come out. It's just my only concern is the fact that, besides Devontae Adams, I know they got Lazard, and I think they still have Scantling. He doesn't have that big number two receiver. Like, you know how when Amari Cooper is in double coverage, the Cowboys are going to go to Lamb. Like, they don't have that trustworthy receiver. Like, that... I'm not saying trustworthy in the sense of make catches. It's just trustworthy in the sense that, hey, he can be Mr. Reliable. Because we saw a lot of that last year. When Devontae Adams got shut down, they didn't win football games.
Yeah, and I mean, that's been a big question mark for, like, everyone in the fantasy community since last year. Is, like, who's going to be this number two guy? Because everyone's always bought in on the number two guy and having Aaron Rodgers' number two receiver because he's normally supported two really good receivers. But, I mean, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, they didn't really go out there and get anybody. I mean, they got Devin Funchess, but he's hurt already, and I don't really think that's the answer there. Aaron Rodgers says he has confidence in both of these guys, but until we actually go out there and see it produce on the field, I have doubts about it. Of course, Devontae Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the league, so there's still that going for him. And Aaron Jones had a fantastic season last season, so many touchdowns, but I think that's going to regress some. They drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. I could see him getting some work. In summary, I do think the Packers are going to end up being the winners of this division, most likely, barring injuries, of course. I think their defense is still going to be pretty good. They had a good core last year. Of course, Alexander, I butcher his first name, Za'Darius Smith, and their usual suspects on defense. And I think their offense is still mainly just going to run through Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Rodgers.
And the only thing, too, is that they did lose Martinez to the Giants. That's the only defensive blow that I can think of that they lost in the offseason. And they lost Jimmy Graham, too, who's now in Chicago, which if we were going to go talk the Bears, just not quickly, talk the Bears right now, it honestly wouldn't shock me. Like, look, I know last year them going 8-8 wasn't perfect. I'm not saying they're making the playoffs, but it wouldn't shock me if they're a much better football team in 2020 than 2019. Just because, like, right now, too, with everyone saying, like, oh my God, Mitch just got handed the starting job, where in reality, I think Trubisky worked his ass off in camp to get the starting job. That's why they brought Foles in.
Well, you also got to think, this regime has put their whole livelihood on Trubisky's name. They want him to succeed so bad, and they need him to succeed. I think this is more of a, hey, we really need him to do good because, I mean, Ryan Pace's job is on the line here. He put his namesake on this guy and spent all this equity to go be able to draft him high above freaking Patrick Mahomes. And, I mean, he's going to hear that for the rest of his life probably. But I do think the Bears, their defense, of course, is the anchor of this whole team. I mean, I love Roquan Smith. Such a great linebacker. I love that guy. Their D-line, of course, anchored by Khalil Mack, is still just great. The offensive-wise, I mean, you have Allen Robinson. He's been super consistent. And honestly, if Nick Foles ever takes over, I can see Nick Foles always loved his just tall, possession-type receivers. I could see that being a connection there if Nick Foles ever has to take over. And we're still waiting to see if David Montgomery can carry the load. But I'm not expecting very much out of Trubisky myself. Just because of how bad it looked last season. But if Matt Nagy can – Matt Nagy did it before and got him to the playoffs and had Trubisky looking good, so maybe he can do it again.
They also did add – they added a couple players, but before that they still have Eddie Jackson anchoring the secondary out of Alabama, who's a pretty good – who's a good receiver play, defensive back. And also, too, I'm just looking, they actually got Ted Ginn from the Bears. He's on the Bears now, but he's from the Saints.
Yeah.
And then, like I said earlier, Jimmy Graham. The only thing that questioned me is that they're one of the only teams I see for depth charts that have four tight ends. They have Cole Kmet, they drafted out of Notre Dame, which was a very suspect draft pick. The biggest thing with me for the Bears is their offense. Like, looking at their defense, it's like, look, they can get it done. It's just a matter of, can this offense work? Because, like you said, not only do I think Ryan Pace's job is on the line, I think if the offense is a bad year, I think Matt Nagy's on the hot seat going into the end of the season.
Yeah, that's fair for sure.
Yeah.
I think all they need is a running back. I think defense, they have what they need. Offense, I think Trubisky can go out and have a pretty good year this year. And like y'all said, Allen Robinson's great. But I think all they need really is just a running back. If David Montgomery can stay healthy, they could give the Packers a run.
And so I'm going to... Yeah, exactly. Because, like, David Montgomery's already out for the first 2 to 4 weeks of the year. And, like, I've been seeing in fantasy drafts, like, Montgomery before going before Cohen. Like, I understand Montgomery's a good back, but at the same time, too, you're not starting him until at least week 3 or week 4 at this rate, because I know he's got that groin issue. They did also lose Kyle Long. Sorry, I just got a text that I was throwing my Mac. They did lose Kyle Long on the offensive line, who retired, which is a pretty big loss. I know that's a bit mix of injuries and just personal stuff. But this team has such potential to go far. It's just, you always know that the Bears, at the end of the day, are going to do something stupid to mess their season up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's true. And just throwing a little bit of fantasy advice there for the Bears. If you drafted, like, Leonard Fournette, and he's probably not going to play much the first couple weeks of the season on the Bucs, I'm gonna assume. I would definitely pick up Tariq Cohen and give him a play. He's always a safe option in PPR leagues. And a sleeper on this team, Anthony Miller. I think he's going to be a really good wide receiver if Matt Nagy can figure out this offense and get Trubisky going.
I agree with your takes on both Cohen and Miller. Quickly, I just want to look into the Minnesota Vikings, because, like how we were saying earlier, like, the Packers probably will win this division, and then the Vikings. I think the Vikings are the same thing as the Cowboys, where not in the sense of they have their own destiny in their own hands, but I think they're their own worst enemy. Like, fair to agree?
Yeah, I mean, because Kirk Cousins, if you think about it, kind of the same as Dak. He's 1 week he's looking really great, the next week he's looking like crap. So I agree with you there.
And, like, even you said earlier, too, the loss of Diggs is going to be big. Like, I know they drafted Justin Jefferson out of LSU, but at the time, Justin Jefferson is not Stephon Diggs, and I only know Adam Thielen. There was, I think it was 2018, where for fantasy value, one of the best receivers, he was getting, like, multiple catches and, like, scoring really well, like, for the first, I think, 8 to 10 weeks of the season, and then the last, like, 5 or 6, it was just completely downhill from there for him, like, where he kind of, like, went from zero, like, from hero to zero very quickly. My only other concerns for this team really is just tight end, because I believe Kyle Rudolph is no longer a Viking. I'm just going to look into that.
No, he signed an extension, actually. I think a 4-year extension, which is crazy.
That's weird. Someone told me last night that Rudolph was no longer a Viking, unless they were just messing with me. They do have Rudolph, but also, too, it's just a big part of it comes to as well as Dalvin Cook's health. Like, Alexander Mattinson, by the way, is another great fantasy handcuff to get. So, like, if you feel like you're 15th to 16th round guys, like, you just want someone to sit on your bench, I'd go for Mattinson. I know I have personally in a couple of my leagues. But, like I said, too, the Viking team, both offensively and defensively, they're on their own. Kevin Stefanski's no longer there, so it's going to be very, like, this team, honestly, goes through offensive coordinators like the Cleveland Browns go through head coaches every single year.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. And, I mean, I just want to see how this team, how the wide receiver corps shakes out. B.C. Johnson's gotten a lot of hype out of camp. He's their number 2 outside wide receiver now. But I really have high hopes for Justin Jefferson. He was a guy I really wanted the Saints to look at in this past draft, but he ended up going to the Vikings. And, I mean, he's a fantastic slot receiver. He had so many touchdowns last season with Joe Burrow, and I think he could be a great replacement, kind of, for Stephon Diggs, target-wise, maybe. He's not a similar receiver to Diggs in the fact that he likes to work in underneath routes, Justin Jefferson does, but, I think he's a fantastic receiver, and if he can ever catch on throughout the year, I know it's a little bit harder probably for rookies than ever before, mainly because they didn't get the rookie mini camps, they didn't get to work out near as much and get all these preseason snaps, especially in the preseason games. I want to see if he can catch fire and maybe see if this B.C. Johnson hype train is there. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, Dalvin Cook staying healthy is definitely the main thing here. Mike Zimmer definitely wants to run the football and keep this team honest, especially have their defense going. I mean, they picked up Yannick Ngakoue from the Jaguars, and I think that's a huge addition. And their main worry there is just their corners. I mean, Mike Hughes and Holtz and Hill, I mean, I don't really know much on them, honestly. I mean, their safeties are good, and Harrison Smith's a really great safety. But, aside from their front seven, their secondary can be kind of lacking. with their corners, but we'll just see how they put it together. And I do think the Vikings are probably going to be the second team there, kind of like you said earlier, butting heads with the Packers. And I think a realistic expectation for them is probably about 10-6.
I agree, and I think worst case scenario for them is 8-8, because the Vikings are one of those teams where, like the Dallas Cowboys, have their one year where they make the playoffs, which was last year, and then they have their year where they miss the playoffs. So they could make it, but they could miss at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
some consistency for both of them.
Exactly. And one thing I just want to add, too, for all of you out there, Britton is not one of those Cowboy fans who's rocking the blue and white shoes, the jorts, and the Dak and the Dak jersey with the gold chain, screaming out "We Dumb Boys" every week. That's why I have them on. If I knew a Cowboys fan like that, I would absolutely not allow them on this anywhere near a microphone on my podcast. So, Britton, I thank you very much for being a realistic Cowboy fan.
I know they're hard to find, but, man, we're out there, I promise you.
Like a needle in a haystack. And quickly, too, the Bears, I think best-case scenario for them is the 7th seed in the playoffs, and the worst case is they just miss the playoffs, and it's a dumpster fire, and both Nagy and Pates are gone.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of coaches on the hot seat, the Lions definitely have one with Matt Patricia.
I'm going to go into that because, as you both know, I have a history with Matt Patricia as Patriots defensive coordinator. The reason why I feel like he's not working is because, unlike what Brian Flores is currently doing in Miami, Patricia's just trying to be Belichick, when in reality, what you need to do is just take his mannerisms and apply it to your own thing. Don't try to be a carbon copy coach of him. We saw, like, how the Lions locker room completely lost him. I know they're trying to develop this whole New England West or New England Northwest culture in Detroit with Bob Quinn at general manager and Patricia at head coach, but that mixed with the fact that they have a new case in ownership. I know Martha Ford stepped down, and I believe her daughter, I think her name is Sherry, I'm going to look this up right now, took over the team back in May, which, when there's like that just whole change in ownership too, that could really screw up a team. Just give me a second here. She is currently the principal, she's former principal owner and chairperson for the Detroit Lions. It is the new owner, Sheila Ford Hamp, excuse me. Her daughter Sheila, who's about not even that much older, she's in her almost 70s, she's 68 or 69, nice. But yeah, this football team is the same thing as like the Bears, where look, they have unlocked potential. Like Kerryon Johnson, they got Adrian Peterson. I like TJ Hockenson at tight end. They did add some pieces in like Jamie Collins and Danny Shelton on the defense. And they just signed Adrian Peterson. But man, like last year too, like they looked good, but then Stafford went out with injury. I know I'm going on with the Lions, but honestly, and they added Jeff Okuda in the draft. DeAndre Swift's hurt right now. But too, with this Lions team, it's either it's either going to be one of two things, in my opinion. Like the Chicago Bears, you're knocking on that playoff door, or you win three games and everyone's just in a complete rebuild mode. So sorry for that long rant. You two have the floor. I'm going to take a break.
I mean, they could be that team like the Titans last year that nobody expected to go that far. You know, there's always that one team. And, yeah, I mean, you never know. It's got to be one team.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think their floor is a little bit higher than the Bears, because I think the Bears could collapse at some point. But I see them maybe like a 6-10, 7-9 team, the Lions. I mean, Matthew Stafford's good enough to kind of keep you afloat. The running back situation, I'm kind of worried about. I mean, they drafted DeAndre Swift, who I'm a big fan of. I think he's a great talent, but, I mean, he's already hurt. And that's why they ended up bringing in Adrian Peterson, who's like 1,000 yards away from Barry Sanders' record, which is funny that he's on the Lions now. Funny to think about, but I don't see him getting 1,000 yards probably in two seasons even. And, I mean, Kerryon Johnson's fine. I think this offense is just really going to run through Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones like it has been. Camp reports for TJ Hockenson have been glowing, so maybe we'll see if he can put it all together. Sometimes it takes a couple years for a rookie tight end to actually go out there and start showing out that he's good. I mean, the last one I can think of that just automatically blew up was Evan Engram, and I mean, that year, literally everyone on the Giants got hurt, so he was the only other option to be throwing to. Interested to see if their defense does any better. They pretty much traded out Slay and got Okuda. Let's see if that helps them out. And they went and picked up some familiar Patriots faces to kind of bring to the defense and maybe bring in Matt Patricia's style that he had on the Patriots. So I just want to see if they can put it together and keep it going. But I'm going to assume that they're going to be like a 6-10, 7-9 team, middle of the road.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Somewhere around 6-10, 7-9. Bears probably, I could see, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears won 10 games. Honestly, I think they have the talent to do it. But will they? Probably not. Realistically, probably about 8-8 for the Bears. But, Beast, about the Lions, isn't it weird how there's always like this kind of triangle of the Lions, the Patriots, and the Razorbacks?
Yeah, it is funny how it goes. I mean, old Trey Flowers, he ended up on the Patriots. And, I mean, if you think about it, Ryan Mallett was the backup quarterback for the Patriots for a long time. And Jake Beckett, of course. Yeah, for sure. And it's just funny how it goes. And some of the better Razorback players end up either on the Patriots or the Lions. I mean, you got Dre Greenlaw, who showed out on the 49ers lately, it is a weird triangle there for sure.
Yeah, even Bielema was on the Patriots staff at one point. It's like, what is Belichick's obsession with the Razorbacks? Me and my stepdad legitimately want to know, but I don't know if we'll ever find out.
I don't know. He probably has a scout down here somewhere.
Yeah, and I also think last year too, he drafted, I think it was an offensive lineman or a tight end that was Danish that was from Arkansas as well.
Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
That is him.
Yeah, Frank Ragnow, who's now the starting center for the Detroit Lions. I'm just also looking to, they did add Desmond Trufant. Jeff Okuda's actually, they're running a base 4-3 defense this year. And Jeff Okuda's their second string cornerback behind Justin Coleman, which is a bit of a surprise. Just because if you're going to invest a third overall pick in someone, you think he would start. But I guess maybe he didn't impress in camp that much, or he won't get the minutes right away.
And then, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, and also looking at their schedule too, their first three games are... four, because they have the bye week five, is Bears, Packers at the Cardinals, and at the Packers as well. And then they host the Saints week four, which that's, I think, could be a potentially 2-2 start. I see them losing to, like, that's their best case. I think worst case scenario for that is they go 1-3 and or 0-4, because we'll get into the Cardinals in a minute in the NFC West. But, even too, they play the AFC South this year. But then even too, like, they have the I guess they play the NFC South as well. But then they have like the Washington Football Team, and then they've got a pretty manageable schedule this year. So we'll see how it goes for them. They're just looking at the preseason though, and that's the other thing too. How you say there's that Patriot Lion Razorback connection? Because I was looking at the preseason schedule. Their first preseason game was supposed to be against the Patriots. So. Just another glimmer spot on there for the whole Britain's conspiracies about the Razorback Patriot Lion triangle. The next division I want to talk about, because Matt, I know you're itching to talk about your division, but I think we got to save that for last, is the NFC West. Last year won by the San Francisco 49ers, who this year, people don't know if they're going to win the division for some reason. I'm in the camp of they are. But there is one team who I think can make some noise in this division, and for those of you who have listened to past episodes, you know who I'm talking about. But for those of you who haven't listened, you'll find out in a minute. But I want to talk to Brenton and Matt on this. Where do you see the NFC West looking like this year going?
I think it's going to be a pretty strong race. All of these teams are really good, I think. Cardinals are probably the least of the four, but of course the 49ers and the Seahawks. These guys are great teams, and I mean, Russell Wilson's one of the best, if not the best, quarterback in the league. He's just so efficient, and he's just so good. And I mean, all around, I think the Seahawks team is really good. Of course, we talked last time how they added Jamal Adams, and I think that's going to help their defense. As we talked through earlier, their run defense, it suffered at times last season, and with the addition of Jamal Adams, it should help. Of course, they lost Clowney, who ended up going to the Titans. I can talk about that later with the Saints. I really like the Seahawks this season. I think DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are going to go out and have good years. I don't know how I feel about Greg Olsen being there. I think he's kind of just more of a veteran presence. Chris Carson's like a really consistent running back. He's not just great, but he's just really good for their system. And I just see them going out and doing good things. Their defense should be a little bit better than last season. And I think with another year under his belt, DK Metcalf could shine through. So I'm not going to say the Seahawks are probably going to win the division. I still think the 49ers are going to be the favorites. But I just wanted to highlight the Seahawks there because they're a team that I kind of like to talk about. I'd probably say that I could see the Seahawks. I could see two teams from this division going 11-5 probably. And it'll probably be the Seahawks and the 49ers.
Sorry, Brandon, go ahead.
It straight up would not surprise me if Seattle won the entire NFC. They came close to it last year, and I think this year they're going to probably be better than the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers are going to have the same success they had last year. I think that this is going to be another crazy year for Russell Westbrook. I'm going to start calling him Russell Westbrook, sorry. Russell Wilson. I think it's going to be a great year for Russell Wilson. And like B said, he's got all the weapons surrounding him. He's got everything he needs. I think it's going to be tough to beat Seattle.
I agree. I agree with the two of you. I honestly think San Francisco and Seattle could be good. You remember how last year, like, San Francisco had the division, but they were going for the number one seed in that Sunday night football game, which ended in a very, it was one of the best games of the year last year. I think this year you're going to have that. I think the two teams play again on Week 17. I don't know where it is. I believe, though, San Francisco does play Seattle again Week 17. It wouldn't shock me if that game's for everything. If that game's for, like, first place in the NFC, NFC West crown, and also, too, that first seed is going to be – that race for the number one seed this year in both conferences is going to be amazing because we're going to see just absolute nail-biter games Week 17 because of only one team getting a bye is absolutely huge. And the fact, too, that – there are now seven teams per conference. I know it's weird, and eventually it's going to be eight, so half the league makes the playoffs. But the fact that you have all of that, just it's going to make for an excellent run to the postseason. So December football, like, I know where you guys are, it's still a little warm that time of year, but up here it's freezing cold. But, man, I'll be good to sit inside on Sundays and watch some football, and some very competitive football at that, too. The one team I honestly want to say who I think is going to make noise this year and finish third in the division, I think the Arizona Cardinals have a better season than the Rams. I know people, you guys are probably scratching your heads right now, but there's something about this team. And, like, look, they just gave DeAndre Hopkins a lot of money, $42.5 million guaranteed at signing, and he's now the highest-paid non-QB in the league. But just with the mix of him and Fitzgerald and Kenyon Drake, and also, too, I love the addition of Isaiah Simmons in that defense because that defense does need some help. But, man, Cliff Kingsbury is a much better coach than I think people give him credit for because, like, he's making Kyler Murray look really good. And there's a lot of people out there, too, that are saying, I don't know who's going to be the MVP of the league this year, but there's a lot of people thinking that it could be Kyler Murray. So for that reason, and this was one of my, like, crazy takes back in March before COVID, was that the Arizona Cardinals make the playoffs.
I mean, you can definitely make a case for it happening. I mean, I think the offense has looked great. And, of course, they just added DeAndre Hopkins. Kenyon Drake gets a full... Well, not really a full offseason with the way things are, but now he's gotten more time to acclimate to the system and not just half a season in. So I think the offense is going to go crazy because Kyler Murray, he's a great quarterback too. I mean, he's a joy to watch. He puts on definitely puts on out there, even though he's only like a 5'10 guy. He looks so small out there compared to everybody, and it's just amazing to watch him work. I really do enjoy watching him. And as you said, Isaiah Simmons, that's a big addition. He was my favorite prospect in that draft last year, just the way you can use him. I mean, this guy, you can literally just throw him anywhere. He can play safety. He can go play anywhere alongside any linebacker spot. He can rush the passer. I mean, the range of outcomes you can use with him is just great. So if they can just use him and cater to his talents, that'll be a great, great pickup for them. Just got to see if their defense can put it together. I think their offense is just going to be amazing. I mean, it was really good last year with, of course, Larry, Christian Kirk, Keyshawn Johnson, Kenyon Drake, as I said. And now you just add DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best wide receivers in the league. That's just a huge addition. But, yeah, I could see them being a pretty good team. And maybe they could be above the Rams because, I mean, the Rams are kind of a question mark coming into this season. But I don't know. I could see the Cardinals going like 7-9. It's probably about where I got them. Maybe 8-8-ish, somewhere around there. But one of these teams is definitely going to falter, be it the Rams, the Cardinals. And like Britton said, it could possibly be the 49ers. I mean, they're dealing with some injuries there, but we can get into that in a minute.
And also, too, the I only say that just because, look, I have a bit of a bias against the Los Angeles Rams, proudly sponsored by Best Buy. I say that for obvious reasons, but they did lose Roger Saffold. Todd Gurley is gone now. We know he's with Atlanta. Their biggest question to me is just, can they reinvent themselves? Because, like, look, they had a great 2018. They arguably, and Matt will probably get, this is going to be a little salt in the wound, sorry, buddy, but they should not have made the Super Bowl last year. And then after that, Belichick straight up exposed McVay, and then I feel like everyone else saw that film and said, hey, here's a perfect game plan to beat the Rams. So they just took it and went. So if McVay can figure out a way to reinvent them, I think they can be a wild card team or that seventh seed. But if they stay the same team and Jared Goff doesn't start to go up or like excel, this team's not making the playoffs in 2020.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I was thinking about that before we recorded this today about the Cardinals. Like, I legitimately think they could go like 8-8. Like you guys said, the offense looks incredible. I think all their games are probably going to be really high scoring, but you know, defense is going to make up for it. You know, it's going to be, when I say high scoring, I mean high scoring on both sides. So,
Oh no! I got that right away too. Because like I remember last year too, they had two games against San Francisco, and both games I think were like at least over 40 points. So I just want to look at their, because I know they're playing San Francisco week one. I want to see if the betting odds are out, because me and I don't bet, but I like to pay attention to spreads and stuff and over-unders. But the over-under on this week's game, San Francisco is a 7.5-point favorite, and it's a 47 over-under. So if I were to bet, I would take the over on that game. That game goes over 47 points. If I were to, I'd say probably like, you'll see a lot of games like 35 to like 28 and stuff like that, or even like 34 to 27, somewhere in like that range for the Cardinals.
And then you add Mr. Two-Touchdown DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to be, that offense is going to be really, really hard to stop.
And also, too, they did add Josh Jones to their offensive line out of Houston, who I know they did need help on the offensive line, because that was one of their weak points last year. But that plus, too, Kyler Murray can make a lot of explosive plays on his feet. Like, you know how I was saying, I heard some people saying that he could potentially be an MVP candidate. Could you, I'm not saying he's going to win the MVP, but like, I'm just looking at like how Patrick Mahomes in his second year, Lamar Jackson in his second year, both won MVPs. Could Kyler follow suit?
I think that's a pretty big shoes to fill, if you had to ask me. I think if I had to bet on an MVP candidate from this division, I'd probably put my money on Russell Wilson myself.
Exactly. I agree with you, Beast, yeah.
So it was just all hypothetical, but
I
do agree with you guys though, where I think their best case is actually 9-7, and their worst case is probably like 7-9 or 6-10.
Yeah, I can see
that.
Surprise
people, it'll be a lot of fun. Sorry, Beast.
How you pointed out, Griff, them adding Josh Jones is huge. I forgot to mention, like, I mean, Kyler Murray, I think statistically he was the most hit quarterback last season, and I mean it doesn't help that he kind of goes out and makes plays with his feet, but I mean getting him some offensive line help was crucial, and then picking up Josh Jones in the second round was a really good get for them, because I was mocking them to get one of the guys like Mekhi Becton, who ended up going to the Jets, someone like that in the first round. But I mean getting Josh Jones, who was graded as a first round tackle talent in the second round, was a good get for them.
And then they also added into Rashard Lawrence from LSU, who I like as a defensive tackle as well. So that's just another anchor on the defensive line with Chandler Jones and Isaiah Simmons. Because like we all know, they have one of the best secondaries in football. And they also, I believe, gave Buda Baker enough money. Buda Baker got paid this offseason. I'm just going to look at their depth chart. And they also added, I believe, Jordan? They added Jordan Hicks. And then they also added to, I believe, I was going to do some looking in to see if Corey Peters was there. If it was Corey Peters that was there last year? Yes, he was. So it is, they added Jordan Hicks, and then from, I believe, the Bills, and, I'm confused. I'm trying to figure out who exactly they added in the offseason. Sorry about this, guys. I am just kind of messing up right now. Who are their offseason additions? Just Jordan Phillips they added and Devon Kennard. Excuse me. Those are the offseason additions. I got Kennard from the Lions and Phillips from the Bills. So, and like I said too, Cliff Kingsbury's a very exciting coach to where last year it was a very suspect hiring, but at the end of the day, a lot of people were impressed. But one comparison I could make as potential worst-case scenario is, do you guys remember the 2019 LA Chargers where they had a lot of close games where they lost a lot of them, so they ended up going 5-11? That's why my worst case with the Cardinals is 6-10.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then, just quickly with the Rams, I think best case is 9. I think worst, they're 9-7 or 7-9, somewhere in there, or even 8-8. I think they're one of those three records.
Yeah, I don't think they finish over 500.
Yeah, that's definitely a take right there. I mean, when Todd Gurley was good for them, it kind of masked the inconsistencies of Jared Goff. And now they have question marks there at running back. I mean, Malcolm Brown is a good backup, but let's see if maybe he's a good starter. And, I mean, they don't really know who's going to be the guy there. I mean, they drafted Daryl Henderson in the second round last year, Cam Akers this time in the second round out of Florida State. I've heard some camp buzz on Van Jefferson, the rookie wide receiver, but I don't know if he's really just going to emerge. I mean, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are two of the most consistent receivers out there. If you play fantasy, you just know just – how consistent they are and how good they are. I think those are going to be the only two bright spots, really. Maybe Higbee. I'm not sure on him. But, of course, they still have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey anchoring the defense. So they can make some stuff happen. But I'm going to say 7-9, 6-10.
All right. And we waited a long time. I know Matt's itching right now to talk. The brand new NFC South. It is that time. We saved the arguably probably one of the most toughest divisions in football for last. It's three teams of tough, but I only say that because, look, we obviously know Carolina's in a rebuild year. They have a very young defensive core. Teddy Bridgewater, it's his first year. It's Matt Rhule's first year, which that's a bit of an expensive contract and a buyout from Baylor. I know you guys are SEC guys, but even two from the Big 12. It's another, I think it's a questionable hire like Cliff Kingsbury, but look, when you got CMC, I think he's going to help win some games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's for sure. He's going to go out there and win them games, no doubt. Just carry the team on his back. I do think Teddy Bridgewater is an improvement for their quarterback play last year, and they had really bad quarterback play. And I really like DJ Moore as a talent. He's a really good wide receiver, and I think his skill set is going to fit right in with Teddy Bridgewater. The thing I don't really understand here is I've heard bad reports on Curtis Samuel, and they signed Robbie Anderson. I mean, Robbie Anderson did play with Matt Rhule for him in college. So maybe that's probably why he ended up on the team, but I don't see Robbie Anderson being a good fit with this team. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't throw the deep ball very often. When he does throw the deep ball, he's pretty accurate, but, I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. So I don't really see Robbie Anderson being a fit for this team. And, of course, I mean, they lost Luke Kuechly. That's a huge hit on their defense there. They really should have went out and got Isaiah Simmons. That would have helped them a lot. But I think the defense is definitely going to take a step back. I think the offense is going to be better than it was last year. It's not saying much when you see what quarterbacks they had going on there. I do think they're going to be the worst team in the division. But I could see them winning probably about 6 games, 6-10.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. They've got a lot of new stuff. You know, they haven't really been able to work on it because they haven't really had a regular offseason. So it's going to take them a little bit to figure out what they have. So I don't think they're going to be worth much this year.
I agree with you both. I just think their best case is 6-10. I think their worst case is 4-12. I think this is a top five draft 2021 team.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. And moving on next, I'm going to say it's a lot better two teams for last. I think, man, if they're like this team, it's another bird, but they're a bird with a bit of a broken wing. But if the Atlanta Falcons can stay healthy, I think they get the 7th seed. That's that. Either one of you who wants to go first, take the floor.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Falcons, they have such good talent. Their offense is, of course, going to be crazy. Matt Ryan's a really consistent quarterback, even though I hate the guy. I got to give it up to him. He is a very consistent guy, and he just goes up there and throws for so many yards, so many touchdowns every year. It helps when he got a wide receiver like Julio Jones, and of course you got Calvin Ridley behind him. The big question is what's their running back crew going to look like, and can Todd Gurley actually go out and show out? Like I said on the last time I was on here, he's got to go out in there and prove to other teams that he's on like a 1-year rental agreement to show that he can actually go out there and play like he used to. And I think I'm going to bet towards him not being quite as good as he was, but I mean, when you're on an offense that's as good as the Falcons, you're going to have chances to score and chances to put up points. And their defense, honestly, it's had troubles. Keanu Neal's already questionable. He's a really good safety though when he is on the field. Of course, they got Deion Jones, great linebacker. Their defensive line has some talent, kind of all over it. The range of outcomes is very vast for the Falcons. And like you said, you could see them being the seventh seed in the NFC, and I do think three teams from the NFC South are going to be in the playoffs this season. Probably three teams from the NFC West and three teams from the NFC South. That's probably the way it's going to end up, maybe. The Falcons, if I had to put a cap on them, I'd probably say I'd cap it off about 9-7, 10-6.
Britton, thoughts on the – and also, too, just before we get to Britton, I want to point out as well, Ricardo Allen, I know he's their second stringer, but he is also questionable to start the year. So if the Falcons can stay healthy, I agree. I think this is a 10-6 at best football team. But, Britton, buddy, where do you think the Atlanta Falcons are going to be this year?
I mean, if Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Todd Gurley can be who we know they all can be, then they can absolutely make the playoffs. They can absolutely make some noise, but it just comes down to those three, I feel like. And you got to keep them motivated. You got to make sure that, other than those three, honestly, there are those teams that I don't really keep up too much with, and this is one of them. So I don't really have too much thoughts about them, but I know, like, those three, like, if you get that three-headed monster going, that's going to be impossible to stop.
And also, too, and I know I've talked about this before with Phil because he's a Gamecock, but I like the addition of Hayden Hurst at tight end as well for the Atlanta Falcons with the departure of Hooper to Cleveland.
See, oh, yeah. They got him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Hayden Hurst, he was kind of buried there behind Mark Andrews, who's great tight end, of course, in Baltimore. And we're going to see if Hayden Hurst has what it takes. And, I mean, last year, the Falcons were just having to come back and come back and come back in these games. And, I mean, Austin Hooper got so much of that on the receiving end of it because they would just leave the tight end open just in the underneath routes and right there in the middle of the field. So I think that's going to be what Hayden Hurst is going to be doing. That's going to be his bread and butter.
All right, now on to one of the biggest talk debates in football. There's people who think this division can go either way. I'm going to let Matt have the floor here because we started off with Britton's team. We're ending with Matt's team. I'm on the same page as Matt as who's winning. But for anyone out there, there's a lot of people who say the Saints is a lot of, not fake hype, but there's a lot of like unrealistic chances just because of everything that's happened in the last three postseasons. But I want to hear why the Saints are going to win this division and not the Buccaneers.
Okay, if I had to give a short explanation, well,
you can take as long as you want.
If I had to give an explanation as to why I think the Saints, of course, it's probably a biased take coming from a Saints fan, but try to put it in as unbiased of a situation as possible. You have this season, this COVID 2019-2020 season, whatever you want to call it. It's been really weird. And these teams have had to go under not having all these preseason games, not having near as much practice to get ready. This Saints team they've been together for – this core has been together for about the past 4 or 3 years. And over the past 3 years, They are the best regular season football team. They've lost only 11 games in the past three seasons, the past two seasons of which they've only lost six. They've gone 13-3 2 years in a row. And the first season there, they went 11-5. They ended up on like a two to three game losing streak and ended up coming back and going 11-5. So a lot of those losses were at the very beginning of this run. This team is – the continuity is there. The experience is there. The one guy that's new that should be – well, I do have one concern about one of the new guys that got added. But one new guy they added, Emmanuel Sanders, he's a veteran wide receiver. You saw him last season get traded from the Broncos to the 49ers and just step right in. And I think it's going to be the same situation here. And he had a little bit more time to get acclimated with the Saints system. And I think him being that anchor away from Michael Thomas is going to be crucial. Of course, Alvin Kamara is still there. He's probably about to sign his new contract. He is just he's a machine. After Saquon Barkley, he's probably one of the most talented running backs in the league. I only say that because Christian McCaffrey, of course, gets a lot of work in the passing game, but he doesn't have a route tree like Alvin Kamara does. If you go back and watch that Vikings playoff game where Stephon Diggs, of course, had the huge catch, our go-ahead touchdown there before that happened was a just touchdown throw where Alvin Kamara was just running out wide and just a chuck from Drew Brees, and Alvin Kamara just came down with it. I mean, he's a really good receiver. Of course, Drew Brees is who he is, one of the best quarterbacks ever in the league. He just owns – just look at the record book. He's all over it. Jared Cook, he's still a really good tight end. He showed out last season. He had like 9 touchdowns down the stretch. My main concern on the offensive side of the football, they added Cesar Ruiz, the center/guard out of Michigan in the first round. I think they do want him to play center. Now that I've actually seen or got to hear more camp news, but he hasn't gotten to play that position a lot because Andrus Peat, our left guard, got hurt early on in camp. So they pretty much had to stick with a different rotation for the longest time. Andrus Peat is healthy now, of course, and he's going to be able to play. But Cesar Ruiz didn't get a lot of snaps there at center, so he's going to be playing right guard. So I think the main way to attack the Saints is going to be that defensive line pressure hitting the interior, which could be a problem because Tampa Bay has a really great front seven in week one. So if Tampa Bay is going to win that game, Drew Brees is going to get hit quite a lot from interior pressure. I will say that. But just to go over the defense really quickly, the defense, they're pretty much staying a solid core unit from last season. Cam Jordan, Sheldon Rankins, Malcolm Brown, Marcus Davenport, these guys are all first-round picks, and they're not just these bums. I mean, Malcolm Brown is probably one of the least ones on there. Of course, David Onyemata, too, out of Manitoba. Shout out to Griff there. David Onyemata is a great defensive tackle as well. We just signed him to an extension. Sheldon Rankins is going to be out to prove that he can return to his form that he was two seasons ago when he had a 9-sack season out of at the defensive tackle spot. Marcus Davenport has a lot to prove, especially with the whole Clowney situation. People are like, why would we want to bring in Clowney when we got Marcus Davenport? I mean, Marcus Davenport, we gave up 2 first-round picks to go get him. But, I mean, the Saints, I mean – I'm just going to keep going on a rant here. I mean, I got to speak to the genius of Mickey Loomis here, just in case anyone didn't know. This man literally went out just to show how much YOLO he's going for this season and how much the Saints really want to make it all the way. He literally was going to use the Browns salary cap, have the Browns sign Jadeveon Clowney, and then send them a second-round pick so that way Jadeveon Clowney could come over to the Saints. And use the pretty much paying a second-round pick for cap space just to get this guy because they really want to go all the way out. But the NFL nixed it, and that's why he ended up on the Titans. Just going back to the defense really fast, Demario Davis, Alex Anzalone at linebacker. If Anzalone can stay healthy, that'll be a great help. This man is a really good linebacker. He has a knack for making plays and creating turnovers. And the secondary should be improved with Malcolm Jenkins at safety. Marcus Williams is still he has his ups and downs for sure, but I'm hoping he can put it more together. Marshawn Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins is going to form one of the best cornerback tandems in the whole entire league, and watch out for C.J. Gardner-Johnson out of the slot. He is a fantastic cornerback slash safety that you can put all over the field. And I'm sorry, I just went on forever on that.
It's all good. Brendan, are you still with us?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head. Of course, I think the Saints are the most complete team in the NFC, and they're the best team in the NFC. And there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be in the Super Bowl the next year, or next season, this coming season. Sorry.
It's all good. My thoughts on this team, like you were saying, they have, like, their defense is really good on paper. Cam Jordan's just a sack specialist. I like the Canada shout out with Onyemata out of Manitoba. And I like Zach Bond, the, I believe, third or fourth round linebacker they got. Because I saw, too, I was looking at their, when you were on your little rant there about the Saints, I noticed because it's Caden Ellis who is the starter, and then Bond's the second, so we'll see how that turns out. They just have so many interchangeable parts, like even Trey Hendrickson that can come in and play some snaps. I like Ramchek's one of the best guards, tackles in the league, excuse me. But one question I just want to ask you quickly. What's more likely to happen first, a Deontay Harris return touchdown or a Michael Thomas touchdown on Sunday?
I mean, ideally, I would love a Deontay Harris touchdown just to show out a little bit. And one other point I just want to make quickly on the defense. I know you brought up Caden Ellis. You're not going to really see him play a lot because this defense has just so many corners and safeties that are going to be out there on the field. We're going to be playing a lot of nickel and dime packages. And that's really going to put offenses on their heads and toes. Like, what is this team going to do? There's just so many defensive formations they can do because of how deep they are at so many different positions. And I'm hoping Zach Bond come in and have a good package here and there. Throw him in the mix, too, just to mix it up. If I had to put a number on this year, I don't think we're going to go 13-3 like we have been. I'm going to say 12-4. That's what I'm going to go with, and I'm going to stick with that.
And I also noticed, too, your first three games, obviously there's this, the big one this Sunday with the Buccaneers, but then you open the new stadium in Vegas against the Raiders, and then you have Sunday Night Football against the Packers week three. So the first three games are going to be very good for the Saints, going to have some competition right out of the gate, which is, a lot of people say, oh, it sucks, but at the same time, too, it's very good to see, so you can kind of get an early feel of how your team's going to do.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel best case, I'm going to say that I think they could go 13-3 again, but the worst case scenario I would say is 11-5.
Yeah, I could say a worst case scenario, like if a bad injury happened and our offensive line is just not working, I could see it being 9-7 and making like the 7th or the 6th seed in the playoffs. But I really lean more to the ceiling of more of a 13-3, but I'm going to say 12-4 just because I think the division's going to be harder this season.
I fully agree, but I don't see this team missing the playoffs at all. I honestly do think, too, I think this is a year they're pushing their chips forward and they're going all in to win a chip.
Mm-hmm. Because if
Breeze wins a second, his stock just raises and raises for, like, he's already in Canton, but it's just the talk for, like, look at Peyton Manning all those years where he only had the one ring. You win a second ring, you're in a whole other level. Before we talk, because we're going to finish the Bucs and just make cases for them, Brenton, what's your best case, worst case for the New Orleans Saints?
I think there's no way they lose, or they win less than 10 games. I'd say worst case scenario, maybe 11-5. Best case scenario, 13-3.
All right. Last but not least for this division is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously adding in Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. But people ask me all the time, am I a Bucs fan and do I have Bucs apparel yet? And I say no. Phil and I are ride or die New England fans. We've committed to this team. I have prepared for this day for a very long time. I'm going to watch the game Sunday and it's going to be very weird. But at the same time, too, I love how Brady goes from being this villain in New England to Tampa and everyone all of a sudden loves him, and it's he's going to win number 7 automatically. And also, too, one Bucs note I want to make. I'm not saying the Bucs are going to be like last year's Cleveland Browns. I only think they are in the way of hype. I don't think they're going to be this juggernaut that comes out and just obliterates everyone. I think you're going to see a lot of miscommunication in the first few games because it's going to take a while for everyone to get used to each other. But for a fantasy perspective, if you haven't drafted yet and you're listening to this episode, because it's we still obviously have 48 hours, 47 and a half now until kickoff, Chris Godwin, I think, is a more money fantasy receiver than Mike Evans. I said it because I feel like Godwin is more capable of those short routes, and he's just going to take the ball and explode, kind of like what Tyreek Hill is capable of. Meanwhile, Evans, I think you're going to see some miscommunication on some deep routes just because we don't know what a 43-year-old Tom Brady is going to look like throwing the ball, bombs ahoy. For all we know, Brady can do it, but at the same time, too, I would go Godwin, and also, too, a sneaky bench option for a later round pick is Scotty Miller.
Yeah, I'd...
It's all good. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think this team, Tampa Bay, it all comes down to Tom Brady, and it all comes down to how he plays. If he goes out and he plays like he played last year, then they're just going to get bounced. They're not going to get anywhere. But if he goes out and he plays like 2011 Tom Brady, or even like Tom Brady from a couple of years ago, then they can win the whole thing easily. They have the offense, they have the defense, they have everything they need. Chris Godwin is going to be special this year. I think he's going to be probably a top three fantasy tight end, or top three fantasy receiver, top probably five regular receiver. I agree with you. He's going to be better than Mike Evans. He's going to have a standout year. And like I said, it just all comes down to Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. A lot of hype has been thrown on the Buccaneers, and I think people should stand back and just think about it. Think about this team for a minute. And this isn't me downplaying them at all. Last season, they went 7-9 with Jameis Winston throwing 30 for 30. You bring in Tom Brady, who is a lot better at being an efficient quarterback, especially as these quarterbacks get older. You see these guys like a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady just – I mean, Tom Brady's never really thrown a lot of picks. It's never been his MO. But like Drew Brees, he used to throw a couple – quite a few picks here and there, but I mean, granted, his defense was absolute garbage, so he was having to compensate for that at times. But you see these older quarterbacks making better and wiser decisions with the football, and not being as mistake ridden as Jameis Winston would be. And I think that's going to hurt Godwin and Evans' fantasy value just a little bit. But I still think Godwin's going to be mega efficient. This guy is a really good wide receiver. Of course, the big question mark is what's going to happen with the running back room. They signed LeSean McCoy this year. I mean, he is just washed at this point. I just don't really see him doing anything. Ronald Jones couldn't beat out Peyton Barber. They drafted Keyshawn Vaughn, but you hadn't really heard much about him. And, of course, they signed Leonard Fournette, who just got cut by the Jaguars. And I think he could be a good running back for them. I don't think – he's not the most efficient running back out there, but he's definitely going to get his opportunity there, because this offense is just going to run really well. The tight end heads there, you got Gronk, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait. I think these are all really good tight ends. Is Gronk going to make it through all 16 games? I have my doubts. I'm not sure if he will or not. So we'll see how that goes. Their defense, their main worry is going to be their secondary. Their front seven is fantastic. If their front seven can just generate pressure like I suggested, how they could possibly beat the Saints on Sunday is just attacking that interior line with Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea, and possibly throwing in some more blitzes there with Shaquille Barrett, and trying to get the attention away from the secondary. But as far as the range of outcomes for the Buccaneers, I'm probably going to give them 11-5 is what I'm going to have them at. It's going to be a really close race with the Saints ultimately winning, I believe. Their worst case scenario, 8-8, 9-7 probably, honestly. I think this team is just going to be really good, since they're going to be limiting the amount of turnovers that they had last season.
I agree with both of you. The one thing I honestly want to see is if Gronk can stay healthy, because like, I know he's back. And if you guys are asking me, and also for everyone out there, was I upset for Brady leaving? No, I was more upset for Gronk coming out of retirement to go join him down in Tampa Bay. My biggest question is him because, look, if you're looking at it for fantasy, I'd rather go Howard or Brady because I feel like those are going to be more of the playmakers. I think Gronk is just there to kind of be a security blanket for Brady or kind of like that, you know, that option you can go to for more, I think, goal line touchdowns or, like, those goal line, like, stances where Brady has the famous quarterback sneak. But for the most part, their running game is their biggest question to me. Like, look, I know you got Leonard Fournette, but you don't know. Like, you're probably – I don't know how much of you are going to see him of week one. Their offensive line is still a huge question mark to me. I know they got worse in the draft, but last year I think Winston was sacked 47 times. And that's the other thing I was looking at too is if this offensive line can't hold up for Tom Brady, like, I'm not knocking their offensive line. I'm just saying – it's not like exactly you have Jameis Winston behind you. You have to protect probably the, I'm not going to say probably, he is the GOAT. He is the greatest quarterback of all time who brought me many joys throughout the years, gentlemen. But I'm just saying this right now. If he gets knocked around a lot, who knows? His body is not what it used to be. I know he does all his avocado ice creams and smoothies and the TB12 mouth with Alex Guerrero. But if Tom Brady can't stay healthy, this like whole experiment kind of failed. And the one thing, I know we said we're excited for football, but there's one thing I'm also equally excited for, and that is next Monday on shows like Get Up, First Take, Good Morning Football. If the Buccaneers go out and win the game, Brady is a god, and the Bucs are going to go and win the Super Bowl. But if not, it's going to be, like, I'm just thinking about it, the what if Brady doesn't play well, but Cam does play well, and Breeze plays well. It's the overreactions next Monday are just going to be absolutely ridiculous, and I am here for
it. Yes, I agree. I mean, week one is pretty much the big, everyone's good. Everyone's good going into the season. Everyone. And until one team loses and another team wins, the overreactions are going to be insane. People are going to doubt the Saints if they lose. People are going to doubt the Bucks if they lose. And people are just going to be writing these teams off automatically in week one because that's just how it is. And you brought up a really good point with the offensive line. They don't have Jameis back there. And, I mean, Jameis gets a lot of flack, but he was really sneaky, elusive back there and really good at warding off tackles. And, I mean, Tom Brady definitely does not do that. So that was a really good point you brought up.
Also, too, before we wrap things up, in addition to the Von Miller injury, Bradley Chubb, they believe, is not 100%. He's coming off a torn ACL from last year. So they aren't 100% sure if he's going to play Monday or not. He'll probably be on a pitch count. And also, too, another thing to look out for fantasy if you draft already. But Brandon Cooks is questionable with a quad injury. He did not practice today. So just a couple things from James Palmer of the NFL Network I wanted to point out. My best case for this Bucs team is not Super Bowl. I think if they want to make noise for the Super Bowl, that is next season. I think this year, it would, like, I think this team's worst case scenario is a 7th seed and they make the playoffs at like a 10-6 or a 9-7. Their best case is they win. I'm not going to say a record because I think it's just going to be whatever is better than the Saints. And another thing to look out for too, which I found kind of funny but also kind of stupid, is that 15 of their 17 games are at opposite times of the Patriots. And with that being said, am I going to go out of my way to watch Bucs games? No, but if it's like a primetime game, which the Bucs have 5, will I watch? Yeah, because I'm a football junkie, not because I miss Tom. Maybe, will I secretly cry, though, if he does succeed? Maybe a little. Another point I wanted to ask you guys about before we do wrap up. I know we talked NFC. I know we talked just NFC today, but if you guys had to give a prediction for who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year, what do you guys think? What do you think the matchup will be in? It's scheduled for Tampa, but who knows at this point where the Super Bowl will be. Or if it'll even have fans.
I've got Kansas City versus, it's tough between Seattle and New Orleans, but the Super Bowl that I've won in the past 2 years is Chiefs versus Saints. So I think that's what we're going to get this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. I kind of bounce back and forth if I think the Ravens can make that step. They kind of, for the lack of a better term, pooped it away against the Titans last season in the playoffs. And I want to see if they can show off again in the playoffs because I really don't see any other teams in the AFC that could possibly make it into the Super Bowl besides them or the Chiefs. And maybe the Titans can show up again, but I just don't think they can do it. So I don't have much confidence in any of the teams outside of the Chiefs and the Ravens. And, of course, I want to see my Saints in there. So I'm going to end up predicting the same thing I predicted last year and predict a Kansas City versus Saints Super Bowl.
My dream Super Bowl was always Brady versus Breeze, Patriots, Saints. This year's obviously different with Cam, and I've said this before on record that this season's a Pandora's box, and I get to open it on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But I'm going to go a little different than you guys. I honestly think this is the year that the Ravens finally win in the playoffs. I'm going Ravens versus Saints for my Super Bowl matchup. I think we're going to see Ravens-Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and I think it'll either be Saints versus Seahawks or Packers in the NFC Championship.
Okay. As far as, like, divisional championships, I agree, Ravens and Chiefs. And I'm going to throw a random bone out there. I'm going to say it's going to be Bucks and Saints in the conference championship.
Yeah, I'd say AFC, definitely probably going to be Kansas City and Baltimore. That's going to be your next New England versus Pittsburgh and all that. But NFC is going to be probably, like I said, Saints versus Seahawks. That's going to be such a good game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Happens.
And if I quickly just, I know we're NFC, I just wanted to ask you quickly, AFC, if you had to pick two teams from last year who did not make the playoffs that will make the playoffs this year from the AFC, who do you think it'll be? Both of you.
I'm going to think about that for a second.
I think one easy answer, or both easy answers here, would be, I think the easy answer would be to say the Steelers and the Colts. That's who I'd probably go with if I had to choose two teams that didn't make the playoffs that's going to make it this year. I think the Colts, they have a good core there for sure. Phillip Rivers still a good quarterback. I think their offense is going to be nice. Their offensive line is one of the best in football. And they got a good core there on defense. And the Steelers, I think they can be a good team with Big Ben back, and their offense should be running pretty well, hopefully. Maybe Juju can come back to form.
Yeah, I agree with the Steelers. I forgot their defense has really stepped it up from what I've heard. And I don't know. The Bills made the playoffs last year, didn't they?
They did. They lost to Houston in the wild card round. Or they choked the game away, excuse me. I think they were up like 15-0 at the half, and then they just shit the bed.
I guess I'd agree with Beast and the Colts. I mean, they're typically one of those AFC teams that are always in there. So,
I was the same as you guys. I actually have the Colts winning the AFC South. That's because if you've listened to many episodes before, you know I have a bit of a reactions to the Houston Texans that isn't looked on as positive. I think a lot of their management style is very unorthodox and just not natural, even though Deshaun Watson got his money. But anyway, guys, 2 days before the season, thank you very much for coming on. We had a great NFC talk today. I look forward to having the both of you on. Matt, it's always good to have you. Britton, it was great to have you. We had a bit of a break from the show, but hopefully I can get you guys back on at some point during the season, doing some preview predictions throughout the weeks, and maybe at some points we can either praise our fantasy teams or be completely disgusted like Britton was last year with Juju Smith-Schuster.
We're on a whole rant episode of just bashing Juju.
I got a DM one day of like a trade saying Juju's open for trade, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to avoid that. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody did.
Well, anyway, were you going to say something, Matt?
Oh, no, I was just laughing in agreement there. I mean, I think Juju's going to be better this season, though.
And Britton will be just slamming his head against the wall if that does happen. Britton, no offense, I'm not picking on you, buddy. I'm just saying it happens to the best of us. When 1 year you have a fantasy player and he's shit, and the next year he is just fantastic. You just like look at yourself like that dog in the room on fire and just go, yep, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's like Will Fuller whenever you bench him 1 week and he has like 50 points, and then the next week you're like, okay, I'll put him on flex and he gets you 3 points. You're like, this is cool. Awesome. I love fantasy football so much.
That happened to me last year with Kenyon Drake. I think it was the game against the Browns where I benched him in the semifinals and I lost by like 5 points. I think it was either playing you or Phil in that semifinal. And I decided to bench him because I was like, oh, he's not going to do anything. And he gets like 40 points. And I'm like, what the fuck? But anyway, guys, like I said before, thank you very much for coming on. Football is 2 days away. Two whole days away. These guys are going to be back on at some point during the season. Fellas, thank you very much once again for coming on. And I think only the messages we have to say before we go is continue social distance, wear your masks where plausible, and wash your hands and sanitize your hands at all times.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good night. Head on the head. Week one is right around the corner, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you guys back here very soon as more episodes are going to be coming of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Good night for now.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.